Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Vetter, Scott Eklund, and Crazy Monday, which we've been anticipating for a while. Lots of movement on the basketball front. Big recruiting weekend for University of Washington. We've got spring football just around the corner, so lots of stuff to catch up on. On a podcast today, Monday afternoon and Monday mornings, we never know what's going to hit us on Monday mornings, Chris, but the first thing to hit this morning was Kyle Smith, the coach at Washington State, heading to Stanford, which, you know, we pretty much let that out Saturday. That was anticipated on Saturday. And then the next shoe to drop was Danny Sprinkle, the head coach at Utah State, probably the hottest coach in the country, agreeing to contract terms with University of Washington. And that was, it was kind of leaked shortly after that, Chris. I think that hey, we're not going to let Kyle Smith take our thunder. Let's go ahead and get this out. But it sounded like this has been in the works for quite some time. But I wasn't anticipating today, Chris. I thought it might be tomorrow.
Well, I thought we all agreed that it was probably going to happen Wednesday when we were talking to the football coaches.
Yeah.
But yeah, thankfully it did happen today, Monday afternoon, morning-ish. And you're right, the Kyle Smith news came quickly, so it was kind of like, well, if they're not waiting around, what have you, the coaching carousel is in full swing. It makes sense that Washington can make a move now. The only question now was, how far down the road did Troy Dannon get this deal done before he left to go to Nebraska? Well, the answer came really fast. It sounds to me, at least reading between the lines, that Danny Sprinkle was coming to Washington, and it didn't matter if Troy Dannon was there, if Aaron O'Connell was there, whoever the next AD may be, if it's not O'Connell, it just didn't matter. This looks like it's a job that Sprinkle has coveted. This is a job that he wanted, and this was a deal that, at least in terms of like an MOU or an understanding between the two parties, this feels like it had been done for a while.
And Chris, just from what I heard last week, especially on Friday when Utah State was actually playing their game and had their first win in the tournament, that the deal was close to being done. And I've never heard this expression before, but I asked if they had an MOU done on Danny Sprinkle, and they said, let's just say it's MOU-ish. So it sounds like the parameters were pretty much done in place. Aaron O'Donnell, the associate athletic director, who's the interim athletic director, sounded like it was pretty much a done deal, and she just needed to get it across the finish line, which it did indeed happen today. I was kind of surprised that it started getting reported, but I thought it might take a little while for UW to confirm it, but they did indeed go ahead and confirm that the deal got done. But as you said, Chris, his dad played for Jim Owens at University of Washington, and sounds like from all of those I've talked to, this is a job that he's coveted for quite some time.
Yeah, his dad, Bill, played cornerback or defensive back for Jim Owens, so there's always been a family connection. He was born in Pullman, ironically enough, and grew up in the Northwest. So having Northwest ties before going to Utah State, he was at Montana State. So there's all sorts of connections to have him coming back. I know that Washington fans, especially kind of in the post-Dannon wake, kind of going, well, whether it's an AD or this coach, whoever they hire next, we would like it to be someone with some Northwest ties, with some connections to Washington and the West Coast, because it just feels like if there's no like familial connection or geographical connection, logistical connection, that they're just as easily, they could go somewhere else really quick. With Sprinkle, it feels like there's a lot of pieces that are already in place here. The other thing I was going to say, Kim, is that the main Utah State site that's out there, the message board called USUFans.com, they have been saying that Sprinkle was gone and most likely to Washington weeks ago. So it really does have the feeling of Troy Dannon basically getting this thing like 99% of the way, and Aaron O'Connell just kind of finished it up and just kind of, you know, got the signatures in place and everything else you need to do to get this thing announced.
And a couple things on that where, you know, Troy may have been able to get most of it done, and then Troy Dannon leaving, and that led to speculation. And we saw things out there on Twitter that since Troy looked, had left, that Sprinkle might take a look around at other places. But, you know, with no AD in place, and we'll touch bases on the AD search, but he may have been told as well, we have an AD in place, or we have it as far as you've been. We've almost got it to the finish line. And we can talk about that here in a little bit. But, you know, the thing of it is, when we talk about Sprinkle, we'd heard a couple weeks ago, I'd heard anyways, that evidently he has family in town. I believe it's a sister that lives here. And he was in town visiting his sister, was the rumor, as well as visiting a player at Mount Si. I can't remember the name of the guy. He's an underclassman up at Mount Si who he did indeed offer. So I'd heard that that's when it had taken place. Had also heard that down in Las Vegas during the basketball tournament that, there were interviews taking place down there. And a couple of names, it just took a while for things to kind of leak out and who was actually interviewed. But, of course, Sprinkle was interviewed. Will Conroy was obviously interviewed. Leon Rice was interviewed. I think that's been out there here for a few days. But a couple of other interesting names that were interviewed were Jason Terry, the former, I think Jason played at Franklin and then went to Arizona after being committed to Washington, the infamous Midnight Loot heist with Jason Terry. But Jason Terry evidently interviewed. And the one that kind of stood out to me was Dwayne Casey. And a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes at that, but it makes a lot of sense. And Scott, tell me if you think this makes sense, because with everything that Jed Fish is doing with the football program, it's all NFL, NFL, NFL. Everything is about the NFL. And my gut says he was kicking the tires with Dwayne Casey to see if maybe there was an NBA equivalent to Jed Fish.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know much about what Dwayne Casey's up to, but, you know, as all these kids, everybody who plays major D1 college football, I think anybody who plays in college really sees themselves as going pro in whatever sport they're playing, whether it's baseball, whether it's softball, whether it's basketball or football. You know, they're all looking at taking that next step, whether that means going and playing here in a league in the United States or across the pond. But, you know, I mean, if these kids want to go pro, it's always good to find a system that would teach them how to play as a pro. Now, that system still has to be successful at college. And if you aren't, that's not going to work. But it wouldn't surprise me if they kicked the tires just to see if there was a guy that they could find that could teach a pro system and have success at this level, but also be able to get guys moved on to the NBA.
Also, Chris, there was another guy that evidently interviewed, and I don't have a name, but he's an assistant with the Golden State Warriors. So sounded like they kicked the tires on that NBA thing a little bit more as well. But like I said, you know, when, you know, you take a look at who he hired as a football coach and what they're trying to do, it makes sense to talk to the NBA guys. And Chris, I think you've got the contract numbers in front of you.
Do I?
I do. I thought you did too.
I can certainly find them.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and give them out. But what's being reported is 3.2 in the first year, 3.3 the second year. Year three is 3.6. Year four, 3.8. Year five is 4. And year six is 4.2. And that's a pretty reasonable number.
Yes, and $6 million buyout, which I know is probably going to either upset some Washington fans or at least get them grumbling a little bit, but there's always that fine balance that the school has to strike in terms of how big does the buyout need to be relative to how much you're willing to pay a coach. What is the fair market value? And if you want a bigger buyout, you're gonna have to pay that coach more money. So you've got to find that, strike that right balance. But what the $6 million buyout tells me, and maybe I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, But again, I think it just it confirms my belief that this was not only a job that Sprinkle sought out, but it's a job that he could see himself being in for a while. And the other thing is that if for some reason the buyout does kick in after a couple of years and he decides to go after another major program or do something else, maybe he goes to the NBA, something like that. Because, you know, typically in these MOUs for the buyouts, if a guy jumps up in league and goes pro, that buyout usually just goes away. If they become a head coach like in the NBA, I don't think there'll be a buyout. But if for some reason he goes somewhere else, that means Washington's program was successful during his time at Washington. And that's all you can hope for, because to get a guy of Sprinkle's caliber to begin with means that they can go out and get another guy that's just as good.
Yeah, and when I take a look at that buyout number, I don't think it means a lot, because if Danny Sprinkle comes in here in the first 2 years and he does have success, one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to get courted by bigger schools, or he's going to sign a contract extension, which is probably more than likely what would indeed happen. And I know it's going to send some people off the rails, but you just need to get over it. Mike Hopkins was coach of the year for his first two years here at University of Washington, and Jen Cohen signed him to a contract extension. Things didn't work out, but that's what we'll probably hire. If Sprinkle is successful in his first couple of years here, he's going to get a contract extension. So, to me, it's not that big of a deal. And we saw something also, Chris, I think you sent it to me from the Utah State site, that if you saw Sprinkle's, a feature on him on CBS before the game yesterday, it was all about his family. I'm not sure that he has a family now. I think he's married. I don't think he has any kids, but he wants to start a family up here is what they said down at Utah State. So if that's true and he wants to start a family up here, we'll see what happens. But I'm not too worried about the buyout.
The other thing too, Kim, is you mentioned the possible extension, which I think is a good point. But give me your intuition in terms of how much do you think the buyout would jump if he has success and he does get extended, much like Coach Hop did?
Like I said, I don't think it's that big of a deal. What's interesting is Hop had a thing in his contract that said if Jen Cohen left, that Hop could opt out of his contract, which was pretty funny. But like I said, you know, the buyout, you either want to be here or not. And if you don't want to be here, you're going to get an inkling of that, you know, within the first couple of years. But if he's got it going and he's courted by other coaches, you know, so it should be an easy job to fill and would be a highly desirable job as well. So like I said, I'm not getting too worked up about the buyout. It's $6 million. That's fine. We haven't got the details of that yet, so we'll see if there's any exclusions in there. That's always kind of a red flag to see if there's any exclusions in there. And we haven't got a copy of the MOU yet, so we'll wait and see what we get on that. I think one of the interesting things, Chris, too, is, you know, we've got to take a look at the roster and also look at who he would bring as an assistant coach. But his main assistant down at Utah State evidently will be a candidate for the head job down there. So we'll see what happens. We'll see who he brings up here. But you've also got the coaching staff up here with Will Conroy, Jerry Hobby, Quincy Pondexter, Ben Lee. And, you know, keeping one or two of those coaches could be key. Jerry Hobby, who was elevated to an on-floor assistant coach this year, was I think it was director of basketball operations, but he was doing off the court stuff. But Jerry Hobby is the guy with the close connection to the guy that funded all of the NIL money. From my understanding, the guy who's funding all that NIL really likes Coach Sprinkle, really likes Will Conroy. Ben Lee is the guy who's been keeping all the recruiting stuff together, and Quincy Pondexter is a candidate down at the Fresno State. But it'll be interesting. I gotta believe he'll keep at least one coach on the staff, Chris.
Yeah, it sounds like Tony Bland is going to be involved in this search somehow, some way, as far as the assistant pool. That's an interesting connection, because that's not necessarily something that we would have pieced together from Sprinkle's past. But I guess we would have had to really dig to find it. But he's certainly got an interesting backstory in terms of his situation in college basketball. So if he does bring Tony Bland, I don't know if it would be as his main assistant or if he would want to keep Will Conroy on as his main assistant, or Quincy, or Jerry Hobby, or Ben Lee. At some point, something's going to have to give in that mix. I don't know what your opinion on that is, but I just don't see him keeping everybody from the previous staff.
No, I think one or two. I could very easily see him keeping Jerry Hobby, not as a coach on the floor, but maybe making him director of basketball operations. And that's the guy who basically makes all the hotel reservations, does all the travel planning, just does everything off the court. I could definitely see that, maybe keeping some continuity up here, you know, especially since the team is going into the Big Ten. I could definitely see Will Conroy for obvious reasons. I think that Ben Lee has a shot of being kept as well. Ben, as I named numerous times, he's just a young, energetic, just grinder. I mean, if you real high, heavy work ethic.
With the move, I'm going to ask more of a question than contribute here, because you guys follow it much closer than I do. But you know, maybe it would be good to have Beach on here too. But with the makeup of the roster, does Sprinkle need to find guys? Because, I mean, the game that they're going to be playing in the Big Ten is much different than the game out here on the West Coast. And it's much more physical. The roster that Washington had, I've heard from several people, would have just gotten destroyed on a Big Ten schedule. So, you know, don't they need to bring in a staff, whether that's Will Conroy, Quincy Pondexter, you know, and maybe some of these other guys he knows? Don't they need to bring in a staff that's going to be able to go out and recruit these bigger bodies, these bigger, more physical players that they're going to need?
I think most of that has to do with the strength and conditioning program. And, you know, Coach Bobby Medina, you know, he's a great guy. But when you took a look at this roster and took a look at the body type on there, they didn't have many guys that looked like the physical guys that could keep up with that. Keon Brooks, of course, you know, he's got an NBA body. Frank Kepnong, of course, has an NBA body. Corin Johnson, you take a look at Corin, he doesn't have the NBA body, you know, so to speak, that you would like to see with all the muscle tone, but he's fine. But he also has had some shoulder injuries, so the weightlifting thing for him has probably been an issue. Wesley Yates, he looks like a Mike linebacker. He's 6'4", 225 pounds, but they need to bring in some guys. Zoom Diallo has an NBA-type body as well. But, yeah, they not only need to deal with those type of coaches, but they need to bring in a new strength and conditioning staff. They need to overhaul the nutrition program there, and it's a lot of the off the court stuff that needs to be improved as well. That's why it's going to be interesting for us to get a copy of the MOU, Chris. You know, the devil's always in the detail. What's the assistant salary pool, and how about the off the court stuff? And that was real important with Jed Fish, and it's one of the reasons that he came up here, is because of that, you know, being able to have that salary pool for the assistant coaches as well as the strength and conditioning staff.
Yeah, with the basketball facility coming up now, it just, everything has been taken to a new level, or it seems like it. There's a push towards getting it to a new level, and improving all of those baseline things has to happen. And that's obviously right now, that's Danny Sprinkle's job. Danny Sprinkle is not only does he have to find the right guys on the bench, and he has to keep recruiting right away to not only keep the Zoom Diallos and the Cash Chavises of the world, but he's also got to go out and find the guys in the portal that can help supplement the other guys that just left, whether it's the Keon Brooks or all of the other guys like Paulie Mulcahy and Moses Wood and those guys. So, you know, he's got a lot on his plate, but you're 100% right, Kim. I mean, what he does with the strength and conditioning guys and the nutrition guys, it's almost as important or almost even more important, because if you do look at kind of the body types and how those guys looked coming out on the floor compared to other teams in the Pac-12, let alone the rest of the country, just didn't look like it was up to, it just didn't look the same. It just didn't look the same.
And when I was at one of the games talking to Troy Dan, and, you know, he just looked at the floor and he just said, look at the body types. Do you think those are body types that can compete in the Big Ten? There's a few of them, but not a lot. So I think that's going to be key. And when we look at this roster construction, what's he going to be able to do? Danny Sprinkle's team at Utah State, I mean, it was a completely new roster last year, so I'm sure he's going to hit the transfer portal pretty hard. But I think they've got a good core here, Chris. I think if they can keep Corin Johnson, Zoom Diallo, Wesley Yates, that's as dynamic a backcourt as anywhere in the country, and then bring in Cash Chavis. I like Cash because he's a point guard who plays football. He played football this year too. And then be able to bring in Frank Kepnong, Wilhelm Breidenbach, and possibly bring in a couple guys from Utah State. I think that's a really good core to start with.
I think it's also important too that when you look at Corin Johnson, he basically confirmed that he was going into the portal. What we haven't heard since he did that, which I think was at least a week, 10 days ago, that he hasn't shown up anywhere since, which hopefully implies that he's been waiting to see what Washington does with their head coaching search. And I'm hoping that one of the first people that Danny Sprinkle calls in terms of the former players and guys that he needs to talk to about getting the band back together for the 24-25 season is Corin Johnson, because he's going to be so important.
I'm guessing Danny Sprinkle's got to come in pretty quick, because there's been nobody in the basketball offices. Everybody cleared out their offices last week, and there's been nobody in the offices last week at all. I know that the players were on spring break, but they're back today. So I'm guessing that Danny Sprinkle, if he's not here today, he's probably going to be here tomorrow trying to get things back in order, having meetings with the players, and hitting the road running, because there's not a lot of time.
And I did post on the board earlier today when the announcement was made official by the school that they are going to have their press conference kind of introducing Danny Sprinkle to the UW fans and the media. So Wednesday, okay. March 27th, 3:00
in the afternoon.
There's a lot going on because Thursday's pro day for football. So it's a busy schedule.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, and then also Washington's looking for a new athletic director, and the name that keeps on coming up, Chris, is Pat Chun, and we'll see if that happens. But Washington State losing their basketball coach today, and Kyle Smith, and if they hire Pat Chun, boy, I'm staying away from every Cougar fan that's a friend of mine. I'm staying away.
Well, if you really look at how things are evolving, and I'm talking a more holistic view, a 30,000 foot view, that, you know, even before Kyle Smith was thinking about moving and going to a place like Stanford, which makes total sense with him, by the way. I mean, he coached for a number of years at San Francisco. He clearly has roots in the Bay Area. I mean, as far as I know, he may have bought a house when he was down there. He may have kept it. So going back to a place like the Farm, that makes total sense for him, regardless of whatever you think about what conference Washington State's going to be in and all that kind of stuff moving forward. And as a private institution, Stanford can pay him a ton of money. I mean, as we found out with David Shaw was making, by the time he got fired, he was making $9 million a year. So Kyle Smith, if he has any success in the Farm, he's going to be able to name his price. All that said, I think Pat Chun, if he's looking at that athletic department, understanding what the finances are post-COVID and everything else that happened with that athletic department, you know, getting pushed out of the Pac-12, all this Pac-2 stuff and all the NCAA money that's coming in because of the tournament and all that's great. But if you're really looking at this thing financially, holistically, everything else, and an opportunity like Washington comes knocking on his door, getting to the Big Ten, all the money that comes with that, the facilities that are going to be kicked in with the basketball stuff going on, has to be pretty enticing, don't you think?
You would think. And, you know, a lot of people saying that his dream job was Ohio State, but they just hired the athletic director from Texas A&M a couple months ago. So I don't anticipate the Ohio State job opening up at any point. And if it does, it's probably, you know, 4, 5, 6 years down the road. And if you can get Pat, a guy like Pat Chun, to be here for 4, 5, 6 years, I'm cool with that.
Whose buyout's going to be bigger when it's all said and done? Danny Sprinkle or Pat Chun?
Danny Sprinkles.
Okay.
Hey, just let's go down the buyouts, by the way. Did you see anywhere what Sprinkles' buyout was?
At Utah State?
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, I think he was making less than $1 million. So I can't imagine it was extreme. But yeah, again, only 1 year into the job, whatever they're going to have to pay, it's going to be the max. It's going to be whatever it would have been.
Yeah, just the buyout things. Kalen DeBoer, Washington, got $12 million. I think they paid $5 or $5.5 million for Jed Fish. They got $1.7 or $1.75 million for Ryan Grubb, which was paid by the Seahawks. They got $1 million for Jen Cohen. They got, I think it was $1.7 million or $1.75 million for Troy Dannon. And then what else? Hop's buyout. They're paying him his last year, which is either 3.1 or 3.2. So, Scott, did you follow that and do the math to see what it all came up to?
I was a journalism major, Kim. Come on. Okay. So if the numbers are correct that you said it was roughly $15 million that they got in buyouts, and they paid out $5 million for, or $5.5 million from Jed Fish, so they're right around nine to ten, maybe $11 million up.
Also, yeah. Real quick, Kim, you mentioned, so it looks like the buyout on Sprinkle's contract at Utah State is $3.6 million is the max. Now, I don't know if there is a deadline in terms of their date, whatever their fiscal situation is, where their calendar begins and ends. So I don't know if it's the full 3.6 or if it's below that now because he would be technically starting into his second season. I don't know. Usually these things are like kind of end of June, beginning of July type stuff. So I would imagine Washington's probably on the hook for the full 3.6, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, like I said, waiting on the MOU to get to us. So hopefully that gets to us soon. But Scott, it's going to be a busy week. We have a press conference on, I don't know, press conference or press gathering. We're not quite sure what to call it yet. But on Wednesday, we'll be meeting with Coach Jed Fish, offensive coordinator Steve Belichick, and defensive coordinator. Why am I spacing?
Steve Belichick is the D coordinator.
Yeah. Brendan Carroll is the offensive coordinator.
We'll be meeting with them on Wednesday, but then we've also got Pro Day coming up on Thursday, which is always fun. We always get a good chance to talk to a lot of people at Pro Day. What are you most looking forward to on Pro Day, Scott?
I am so bored with Pro Day stuff, so I'm going to be looking forward to talking, meeting the new coaches. I haven't met any of them in person yet, so I'm looking forward to talking to them. I'm looking forward to maybe seeing some of the other press guys that we haven't seen basically since the end of football season. It's always fun to kind of hang out and see what they had to say and everything like that. It's been a very eventful off season, about the most eventful couple month stretch that we've probably ever had that I can remember. I mean, with two coaching changes at the two major sports at the University of Washington, a championship run for the Huskies, or at least going to the title game. So it's just been nuts. All the turnover with the roster, portal, high school prospects. I mean, it's been mind boggling how crazy this off season has been.
Yeah, Chris, with Pro Day, I'm looking forward to seeing Michael Penix. We'll see if he runs the 40, because there's rumors that he's been training and running in the 4.4s. We'll see if he does indeed run. But looking forward to see some of the guys that didn't participate at Pro Day, like Jack Westover and some of the other guys. But it'll be good to be in front of the guys, seeing Michael Penix throw into his three wide receivers. And there are going to be a ton of scouts. This should be the most highly attended Pro Day since we've been doing this, Chris.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You've got a chance of potentially three or even four Washington players getting drafted in the first round. We've never seen that before, at least since we've been in operation. And like Scott said, I was trying to think of a time where there's been more turmoil, and I'm thinking maybe around the time Rick was having his issues and then Romar was getting hired, and there that time in the kind of the early aughts was maybe the only other time that was remotely is where the confluence of football and basketball stuff hits so hard. And then the AD on top of it. Yeah, that's never happened. But
well, go ahead. Sorry, Chris.
Well, no, I was just going to say for the pro day, though, I'm fully on with Kim. I want to see Michael Penix run a 40. I want to see that. And we know there's probably going to be at least 16, 17, maybe 18 guys that are going to work out in front of every single NFL team, because you know every single team is going to be represented. This is going to be the one time we've done this where we know for a fact that every single team is going to be repped, and there might be more than one or two head coaches. Because, you know, obviously Pete Carroll's been here in the past with the location with the Seahawks. That makes sense. But rarely do you see other head coaches come all the way to Seattle. That may change for this particular one. So I'm kind of excited to see who shows up. And then last but not least, I'm really hoping that no one gets hurt. I'm just dying to make sure that no one gets hurt, because everyone saw what happened with Sidney Jones. And that really, you just don't want to see that.
Yeah, well, and that's why I think there's a decent chance, other than Michael Penix running a 40 and maybe Rome running a 3-cone, it wouldn't surprise me if Fautanu, Rosengarten, the three receivers, and Penix don't do anything from a workout standpoint. Maybe they do some lifting, maybe they run a drill that they weren't happy with at the combine, but all of them did so well at the combine, I think they're going to be advised by their reps to, hey, take it out, man. You don't need to get hurt, especially this close to a month before the draft. Yeah, I just don't see. I wouldn't be surprised to see any of those guys. None of those guys work out.
Yeah, yeah, just like, I mean, I was going to say, Scott, you're 100% right on that. I mean, everyone loved what Rome Odunze did in Indianapolis. Everyone was rooting for him. He became an instant fan favorite. I know Daniel Jeremiah is talking about him being his favorite guy in the draft and everything, and look at all the good stuff he did. But if I'm his agent, if I'm the people advising him, I am begging him beyond. I mean, I'm getting on my knees and telling him, please just work out. Don't run. Don't test. You don't need to do any of that stuff. Just go out there and catch balls from Penix and have fun out there on the field, but you don't need to do any of the testing stuff. You already did all that. You don't need to do that anymore.
You think the scout from the Pittsburgh Steelers will be in attendance?
Who, Mark Bruner?
Mark Zell.
I suspect he will fully be in the pool.
And that's one of the best things about pro days. There's going to be a lot of agents there. There's a lot of scouts there. There's a lot of coaches there.
Networking.
Yeah, the current players wander in, so we get a chance to see some of those guys. We get a chance to talk to them. Last year, Kalen DeBoer just kind of wandered over and just shot it with us for about an hour. And what else you guys want to know?
People have no idea. I'll tell you what. I know there's a lot of hard feelings from Husky fans and Husky Nation for Kalen DeBoer. He was by far, at least in my experience, the easiest coach to deal with. I'm not saying there was only one that was terrible. And that was he who shall not be named. Sark was always pretty good with us. Pete was good with us. Just both were kind of standoffish. But Kalen DeBoer wasn't that person.
He's just a dude.
He would just walk up. I remember waiting for a gaggle during the season for, I think it was offensive players. And we're waiting for him. And DeBoer walks up. He's ahead of some of the players. And he goes, hey, any clarifications you guys need on anything or anything? We're like, what the hell is going on? This is not normal. I mean, he was the easiest coach to deal with of all the coaches we've dealt with.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure Ryan Grubb and Scott Huff will be there. So looking forward to seeing those two guys as well.
Just a 15-minute drive for those guys. So
yeah.
Scott, I know Scott, you didn't deal that much with Hop. I know you did a little bit, and I don't know how much you dealt with Lorenzo, but yeah, top three coaches I've ever dealt with at Washington all time were Lorenzo, Hop, and DeBoer. I mean, of all the football coaches, 100%, he laps the field when it comes to the rest of the football coaches. And that's not an indictment on the other guys, because I love Gilby. Gilby's my guy. I love him to death. But Gilby's not a media guy. He never was. Now, he protected us. He wanted to talk to us, but he talked to us about other things. He didn't care at all about football when he was talking to us. But DeBoer, like Scott said, DeBoer would just come in, and he was all about transparency. He was all about, hey, what do you guys need to know? Is there something? What's up? What's like? And I think it was half of it was because he thinks he could probably learn a little bit from us as well as we could learn things from him. And it had just engendered a good relationship, working relationship with the media. And that's where, you know, again, like Scott said, hard feelings, of course, from the Washington fan base because of how things left when he went to Alabama. But in terms of his overall legacy and everything like that, at least from the media standpoint, I'd be shocked if a lot of people in the media had anything negative really to say about him because he engendered a lot of good feelings.
Well, Kim, tell the story what you heard from the Alabama guys when they asked about dealing with him.
Well, they were just
in terms of talking to assistants and stuff. Well, I mean, he never did that.
No, that thing was as closed down as you could get. They got assistant coaches once at the beginning of the year, and that's it. And my guy who's been around forever calls me and goes, "We're asking him questions and he's answering. And assistant coaches are available. Are they kidding us?" And it was just kind of funny. But I was also going to say, I'm kind of interested to see. It'll be interesting to see if Coach Pete shows up because most of those guys running at Pro Day, those were Coach Pete guys. So it'll be interesting to see if Coach Pete's there. And if he is, it'll be good to see him and, you know, see the media side of Coach Peterson.
Will Jimmy Lake be there?
Maybe.
Maybe. Jimmy's got another job right now to worry about, right? Isn't he in Atlanta right now?
Yeah. But if he's looking at guys, I mean.
Yeah. Hey, just one quick note, Chris. I forgot to tell you this, but with the Leon Rice interview at Washington, can I tell you who was pushing for that? It was real close to Leon Rice. Was really pushing hard for Coach Rice.
Mark Few.
Nope.
No.
Chris Peterson.
Tommy Lloyd.
Chris Peterson.
Yeah. No, it doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all. I'm sure they're cut from the same cloth and
good friends, from what I understand. But hey, Scott, we're going to give you a chance to talk since we just pretty much sat you in the corner with a popsicle and didn't let you say much. But
I know enough to get basketball to get me in trouble. That's about it, Kim.
I know, but big recruiting this past weekend for Washington.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't classify it as huge or anything, but they did have several top prospects in that they were in on. Two came away with offers. That's Jaron and Kenan Pula. They're two kids out of Tempe. They're 2026 guys. And both of those guys are athletes. Looks like Washington's recruiting them as wide receivers. Both of them are just big-time playmakers from the state of Utah. Ansu Sano, he's a running back prospect from Lake Ridge High School in Lake Oswego, Oregon. I talked to him earlier today, actually. So he and I just kind of texted on his trip. And then we played phone tag yesterday, but he called me today. In one of his class breaks, and we did a interview that'll be up that I'll be posting tomorrow. But he basically said Washington was like home, man. He enjoyed his time, spent an hour with Scotty Graham, and just sitting around talking, chatting about things. He's 6'1", 225 as a 2026 guy, so he's only going into his junior year this fall. So he's a big kid. Big physical running back. Watch his film. He's really, really good. That guy already had an offer. I think he got an offer from the old staff, and then it was renewed by the new staff. And then CJ Wallace, a kicker out of St. John Bosco, 2026 guy. These are all 2026 guys that were on campus. There were a few 2025 guys that are guys that Washington's evaluating, but they aren't real high-end recruits at this point. They might be down the road, but right now they aren't. They're just guys they're interested in. But 2026 kicker, CJ Wallace, he was in on Thursday and Friday, left Saturday morning, loved his visit. He'll be back up on April 6th. And as I said in my blog, it would not shock me at all to see him pull the trigger and become the first commit of the 2026 class. He loves UW, loves the staff. Jordan Pau-Pau, who is the special teams coordinator, is kind of his guy. He just really likes him a lot. The new Arizona staff hasn't offered him, but he's getting looked at by them. He's got Penn State, Notre Dame, USC, North Carolina. Those schools are all after him too, but it sure sounded like Washington was probably going to be the choice if his parents let him make that choice, almost a year and a half before he can sign anything. So, just something to keep an eye on there.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. And my phone's and text messages have been going a little bit crazy, so I've got a lot to return. And for who's calling me, well, if I hear anything, I'll put it out on the message board. So you guys are pretty good about keeping things tight on the message boards. But Chris, go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, big day for Washington Athletics. The big question was obviously answered. It was kind of a chicken or egg thing that we were putting out there on the boards. Who was going to get hired first? Would it be the basketball coach? Would it be the AD? Would they go through the process of hiring a basketball coach without a full-time AD? Well, clearly that got answered. Now we just need to find out a little bit on Wednesday how far down the road this thing was in terms of how invested Danny Sprinkle was in terms of following up on this opportunity, especially when he was in the middle of a tournament run. I mean, it is weird, guys, because did it have shades of like DeBoer in the national championship game? Did he have kind of one mind in Tuscaloosa and another one on the field? Did Danny Sprinkle, when they lose by 41 to Purdue, did he have half of his mind already in Seattle? I mean,
I don't think it mattered.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in a certain sense, it doesn't. But if they were fully invested in stuff, would they have maybe only lost by 10, 15? Who knows? I mean, these are all hypothetical things. But it's going to be great to talk to him. Everything that he's done as far as their tournament run, you know, outright winning the league and everything else, everything that he's done outwardly on TV, on video, everything else, he's come across really, really well. And so I think this is a slam dunk hire, and I think this is going to be a guy that Washington fans are going to fall in love with and get excited about Washington basketball again. And now it just opens up all the rest of the things that come with it. Who is he going to hire for his assistants? Who is he going to hire for his staff? Strength and conditioning, nutrition. We talked about all this. It's going to be so critical moving forward. And on top of that, you've got football coming. You've got pro day coming. Start of spring football, literally 8 days from now. It's ramping up. I mean, it just feels like the national championship game was yesterday, and now we're already basically at spring football. Super excited. Can't wait to get it all started, but we'll talk to Danny Sprinkle on Wednesday and see what he's got to say.
Scott Eklund, wrap it up.
I can't really echo things any more than what Chris already said. I mean, Danny Sprinkle, from everything I've heard, everything I've seen, he looks like a great hire, great fit here, has those ties to the area, so that helps. Washington needs to be good at basketball. I'm not saying Washington should be a perennial power in basketball, but they should be a team that wins 20 games on a regular basis. They have that kind of backing from the staff, from the fan base. They do everything. They've done a lot of different things to help this program get to where they need to be. And as much as I liked Hopkins, it just wasn't working here. And bringing in a guy like Sprinkle, who knows what he's doing, and he's a younger guy, he's ambitious, he knows how to build the program, or at least we saw it at Montana State. We only saw 1 year at Utah State, right? So we'll really have to see what he ends up doing. But I think the portal is going to be really important for basketball, and just like it is for football. And football is going to be crazy with the spring portal. There's a lot of guys that UW's already starting to look at and evaluate for the spring portal. Spring ball is underway for probably about half of the country that I've seen. You know, a lot of these schools are going to be ending, as Washington's still only like in the third or fourth week of spring football. So just keep those things in mind. It's going to be a busy week, and I'm looking forward to it. We're kind of out of that late winter spring dead period. We're going to be busy for the next couple months. Then we'll take a couple weeks off in July, and then we right into football season in August.
Break, what break?
Yeah, jeez. I know. I mean, it's so weird. It's so weird to think that a month and a half, or 2.5 months ago, almost 3 months ago, we were talking about Washington having a chance to win a national title, and all these changes that we've been through and how crazy the offseason has been. I guess maybe it was my naivete. I just didn't see it being this crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's just been crazy. And, you know, we just try to keep you guys as updated as often as we can and give you guys as much information as we can. And for those who don't subscribe to dogman.com, if you're just looking at the front page, that's not where we put the good stuff. The good stuff is on the hardcore football, basketball, and recruiting boards. That's where you're going to get all the inside stuff before it even goes on the front page. Yeah, we're typically a little bit ahead of everybody else, and that's where we typically put it. A lot of the things that we put out there is, for example, just, you know, the stuff with Pat Chun possibly being the next athletic director. It's not something we'd put on the front page, but it's a pretty strong rumor. And if I had a gun to my head, I'd say that's going to happen. You know, we were on top of it with Kyle Smith going to Washington State, and we just seem to be ahead of it on most of the stuff. So, you know, check out the hardcore football recruiting and basketball boards. That's where all the good stuff's going to be. So
I want to leave you guys with this. You talked about Pat Chun. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Danny Sprinkle. Would Danny Sprinkle have taken the job without knowing who the next AD is?
He may have been a, there may have been a wink, wink there. So, you know, we talked about that.
I'm going to leave Washington fans with that. I'm kind of, that's my next question.
Well, you don't have an athletic director. You kind of do. So we'll see. We'll see. Again, just a reminder, Wednesday, we've got we'll be with the football coaches. Wednesday afternoon, we'll meet Danny Sprinkle. Thursday is pro day. We'll have a lot of stuff from there. And football practice starts a week from tomorrow. Just an FYI, every Tuesday, every Thursday, and every Saturday. From my understanding, football practice is going to be around 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's going to be late morning around 11:30 on Saturdays, and we'll go for 4 solid week with the spring game on May 2nd or 3rd, right?
May 3rd.
Yeah, whatever that Saturday is.
And if you want,
Friday,
and if you want
Friday,
to blow.
Friday night, Kim.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the Alabama reporters, their heads explode, explain to them that now Washington media gets to watch every single minute of practice in the spring. Get to see all of it.
Yeah, they think we're lying. No. Yeah,
it's new to us.
So it's flat earthers up at Washington. Yeah, they're crazy. So, hey, for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.